Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
It's Glaucoma Awareness Month, and your chance of getting glaucoma may be greater than you know. Let's go in-depth with Dr. Kevin Jones with the Family Eye Care Center, Pella. Dr. Jones, it's Glaucoma Awareness Month. What's glaucoma? Let's start with that.
Glaucoma is a disease or a group of diseases that cause slow changes to the vision that are undetectable to the patient. These changes happen in a way that the patient is unaware that the changes are happening. It's not until the patient has lost approximately 40% of their vision before they start to notice that they're actually having some vision loss. This vision loss is a permanent vision loss as well. So once they've first detected that they are actually losing some vision, that's not able to be fixed. That vision is gone forever, and we're going to need to set a plan in motion to slow down that progression.
Okay, so it's not anything that can be stopped or and can only be slowed, or it's not like taking a pill and it goes away.
Correct. So we're not able to stop glaucoma from continuing to happen, but we're wanting to slow it down to a rate that it is continues to be undetectable, the change. So we can slow it down so that you're no longer noticing further vision loss in most cases.
And so physiologically, what's happening?
So inside the eye, there's these tiny little cells that transmit the information from the eye back to the brain. Well, those cells are fragile and are killed in some patients who have glaucoma. So there's some sort of process that's happening inside the eye that causes those cells to die. They happen in a predictable pattern, but they happen in a way that the patient is unaware that they are losing those cells.
So how do you discover that I have glaucoma?
A thorough case history is going to be important. You know, is there a family history at sometimes? But also detecting the changes that are inside the eye. So we have special ways of looking at how thick is that cell layer. Is that cell layer thinning in a way that would be evident of glaucoma? Also looking at the optic nerve. The optic nerve brings information from the eye to the brain. Certain changes can happen at the optic nerve that would indicate that there is a glaucomatous process happening.
So that's why you look deep into somebody's eyes with the equipment, and it's not like me just reading the numbers on the wall chart. Those are two complete different things.
Correct. Yeah. So one of the big things is that when we're checking someone's eyes, we're checking to make sure, are they seeing well, and what do we need to do to make sure that they continue to see well? But more importantly, it's looking for disease process like glaucoma to make sure that those are not happening deep inside the eye so that we can ensure the future of a patient's vision.
Okay. So me just coming in when I think my vision is getting worse to get new glasses, good eye care is much more than that.
Correct. We would recommend that a patient have their eyes checked on an annual basis. That's going to allow for us to set up normals. So we look to see what is the normal, and we can continue to watch that normal to make sure that it's not changing. Not so much are you seeing well, but are there things inside the eye that may be changing that would be undetectable to the patient? The insurance companies, for example, are finding that this is so important to come in and have your eye wellness check that companies like Vermeer, Pellicorp, they've offered these examinations now this year at no charge to most of their employees. It's just a benefit that's on their policy to come in, use it. And these insurance companies understand that if you can detect these diseases at an early time, it's going to cause less burden on the healthcare system because you're less likely to lose vision.
Well, and in those positions, it's in the best interest of the company that you have good eye health and good vision, because in a lot of positions, the companies have invested greatly in the training and education of the employees.
Yes, so they want to make sure that the patient is healthy. If they're healthy, they're going to be more happy. If they're more happy, they're going to, you know, have more fun at their workplace, enjoy their workplace, and be able to perform better at their workplace.
more in depth after this. I continued my conversation about glaucoma with Dr. Kevin Jones with the Family Eye Care Center in Pella.
Let's say that my grandpa had glaucoma. Is that a concern? Is this hereditary or what?
There's definitely a hereditary component. A lot of times, though, we don't know that the older generation has glaucoma because our ability to detect it now is so much greater that we may have had grandpa who, maybe grandpa didn't see that well. Well, the reason he may not have seen well is he had glaucoma. It was just never diagnosed. So a diagnosis of glaucoma in a previous generation is indication that you're at higher risk for glaucoma. But having an absence of a family history of glaucoma doesn't actually put you in the clear.
So are there environmental factors that can give you glaucoma?
Typically, it's going to be things that you put into your body that are going to affect whether you have induced glaucoma. For example, some medications may increase your risk of glaucoma. But mainly, it's going to be some sort of genetic component that is causing the glaucoma.
Okay, so those warnings that we see with all, you know, the happy people on TV with the terrible warnings about the medication, that were long list of them. Now I'm thinking about it, I do remember glaucoma potentially being one of the side effects on some of those. Is that what you're talking about?
Sometimes, yes. So some of those medications may cause an increase in the pressure inside the eye. If the medication is causing an increased pressure inside the eye, the body may not be able to tolerate properly that increased pressure inside the eye and then cause changes that are not able to be repaired later unless caught quickly.
Do you measure the pressure in the eye, and if so, how?
So we have in our office, there's three different ways that we're able to check the pressure inside the eye. All involve an estimation of the pressure inside the eye. One is there's a tiny puff of air that we can blow at the front surface of the eye that measures the pressure inside the eye. Most people know that as the puff test, or in a lot of cases, the dreaded puff test. People remember that test because it, it kind of gives a little puff of air that makes you kind of want to sit back from the machine. But there's other techniques as well that we do utilize in the exam room for small children. We would use a technique inside the exam room that doesn't involve any sort of eye drops or air at all. And we can check that very accurately in the patient. There's another way that we check it with the microscope that we use some eye drops inside the eye and then are able to measure the pressure a little bit more accurately when needed.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about glaucoma with Dr. Kevin Jones with the Family Eye Care Center in Pella.
And so when do you start looking for glaucoma? What are sort of the typical ages where you start seeing it?
Typically, we're going to see glaucoma in the later generation, so 40, 50, 60 is when we're going to see it. Unfortunately, we're seeing it in those generations in greater numbers because it's so obvious that there's glaucoma. With today's techniques, we can be detecting very early changes in glaucoma in 20-year-old, 30-year-olds, 40-year-olds, and then either monitoring it very closely or in some cases actually prophylactically or pre-treating them before the damage gets too bad.
And so how do you treat it?
All of the glaucomas, they share a characteristic in that we want to lower the pressure inside the eye. So we look at what is the pressure inside the eye. Your pressures may be 21 or 16, and what they all have in common is that we want to lower the pressure inside the eye. So we're going to use an eye drop that a patient would use either throughout the day or prior to bed, and that those medications would work in a way that would lower the pressure inside the eye. In most cases, if we can reduce the pressure by 30%, we can put the patient into a safer zone where glaucoma is less likely to progress.
And with medication?
With using eye drops.
Eye drops.
In some cases, eye drops don't do enough of the reduction in the pressure, and surgery may be be needed. And that's where we would partner with the doctors at, say, Wolf Eye Clinic to use surgical techniques to lower the pressure inside the eye.
So you mentioned cells before, and now you're talking about pressure. How do those relate? Is the pressure sort of indicative of something going wrong with the cells, or does the pressure cause the cells to go awry?
What we think the process is that these cells have some sort of change in them, whether it's a defect to the cell or a weaker cell because of genetics. And those cells are more likely to be damaged if the pressure is higher. So those patients may have normal pressure inside their eye, but it's too high for them. It would be like if a person had bad knees, for example. They may be having bad knees, and they would think, well, I'm not overweight, but my knees are feeling bad. If I can lower my weight by 20 or 30 pounds, I may be able to relieve some of this pressure from my weakened knees and be more comfortable. Whereas someone who has good, healthy, sturdy cartilage in their knees of the same weight may not have any problems with their knees. So glaucoma is similar to that in that you may have normal pressures, but there's something genetic happening inside your cells that they can't tolerate that normal pressure. Whereas someone else who has normal pressures and normal cells, they're not going to get glaucoma.
And so there's no dietary component in causing this, or no dietary cure?
We don't think that there's any sort of dietary component to curing glaucoma or managing glaucoma. There are some things that a patient may be able to change. For example, patients with diabetes may be at increased risk for progression of glaucoma. And so keeping your diet well controlled so that your sugar levels are normal may in fact help you ward off some changes that may occur. Also, patients with sleep apnea are at increased risk of developing glaucoma. In a patient with sleep apnea, there's a low flow of oxygen when the patient discontinues breathing while sleeping. That low oxygen state can put those cells at greater risk of death. And so you have a situation where we're going to have progression of glaucoma, and we can't understand why it's happening. Well, that patient may have some other factors like diabetes or sleep apnea.
Is the treatment of glaucoma to slow it down, is that expensive?
The eye drops here in the United States are typically expensive for glaucoma. There's a lot of generics available. Some of the generics are made by great companies who are looking to help cure these, or not cure these patients, but help treat these patients. But some of the generics just may not be effective enough. But there are programs that a lot of these companies have in place. For Alcon, for example, who makes a lot of the glaucoma medications, they have a program where if someone needs assistance, there's programs that they can be put on to help with the cost sharing of their glaucoma medications.
You see patients every day. There's somebody sitting in this chair, many people every day. How often do you see glaucoma? Is it something I should be concerned about, or is it just this rare thing that I'm probably not going to get?
I would say if I had a busy day where I had 20 patients that I'm seeing in a day, I might see four or five patients on that in that typical day that are at risk for glaucoma or have signs that we need to be concerned of it to continue to monitor. In that same day, there may be one person that has a true diagnosis of glaucoma, and those other three or four or five patients may just be patients that have high risk factors for glaucoma that need to be monitored more closely than just an annual checkup.
So this is a big deal. I mean, it's not some rare exotic disease. It's a big deal. It's pretty common in the population as you describe it.
It's common, but it's probably misdiagnosed, missed, or not fully understood by everyone.
Okay, so what's your best recommendation for people with respect to eye care to make sure we keep, you know, one of our most precious things, our sight?
I would recommend that a patient would schedule an appointment to have a comprehensive eye health evaluation that includes checking not just the vision, but actually checking the health behind the vision. It's that health behind the vision that is going to allow you to continue to see throughout the years. just having a checkup that's only going to check to see whether you're seeing 20/20 and maybe giving you your glasses or contact lenses may not be enough.
Thanks to Dr. Kevin Jones for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.